Well, today's a very special day. I would imagine most of you don't realise what I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you in just a moment. 2,000 years ago, there was a great event. Obviously, the birth of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, resurrection was just the history-changing factor that happened in our world. But 50 days beyond the resurrection was what was called Pentecost. And on that day, the Holy Spirit came and established the church and took 120 believers who were in an upper room with the windows closed, the doors closed, because they'd seen what had happened to Jesus. They were concerned that the religious people were going to tear them up or stone them or do all sorts of things like that. But they were touched by the Holy Ghost. And from that time, today, from 120, there are over 1 billion Christians on the face of the earth. How good is God? And what a great thing God did. So this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about that and explain that to you to encourage you. But before I do that, let's just pray. And I want to pray and invite the Holy Spirit here this morning. I know he's here, I know he's working amongst us, but I really want him to be released. So Holy Spirit, we lift our voice to you. We thank you that you are that person of the Godhead who resides within us when Jesus Christ becomes our Saviour. Holy Spirit, we open our hearts to you, that you would bring us truth and life, that you would bring us a revelation of Jesus Christ, that you would stir up the hope of glory within us, that you would set upon us that which you called us to be, the powerful witnesses of Jesus Christ in this day and age and in this time of our existence on earth. Come, Holy Spirit, may we do your agenda this morning. May you anoint me to preach about you and what you're doing and why we need to be in tune with you. Amen. Amen. If you wonder what this church is about, I need to make something clear to you. This is a Holy Ghost church. We believe in the Holy Ghost. We believe in his work. We believe in the fact that he lives within us and he works with us. And that has happened for 110 years in this city since a lady came here preaching not only salvation, but bringing the release of the Holy Spirit into people's whose hearts were open and ready to receive the flow of what God intended. The good news is it obviously had an effect, and this church is the result. But the sad news is when she came here, she was rejected by the traditional church. They didn't want this newfangled thing, which they didn't believe was of God. They thought, no, this is wrong. This is not of God. And so they persecuted this lady. They persecuted the church. But you know something? When you persecute the church of God, it grows. When there's no persecution, people sit in comfort and it doesn't grow. But as soon as persecution comes, something happens. People rise up in God and say, I want to be included in this. And the Holy Spirit works through them. And so that is my prayer. Now, I am not praying for persecution. As long as you will rise up and do what God's called you to do. Otherwise, I'll have to pray for persecution. Yeah, that's nice. And I don't like persecution either. The thing is, people resist change. And the fact was that when this lady, Annie Dennis, came here, she was bringing something to the church which had been touching parts of the world, definitely. And she came from a revival in Melbourne where it had happened. But people sort of don't want to get involved in something more. They just get comfortable. They want to put God in a box. And God doesn't live in boxes. He lives outside the box. And just as soon as you think you've worked out God in this area, he does something totally different, which blows your theory out of the water. God is greater than our boxes. Okay? So let's take a thought. Today is Pentecost Sunday, a significant day. It's in the history of the Christian church about 2,000 years ago. As I said, they went from 120 to, actually it's 1.2 billion. So that's, you can work the maths out from there. It's amazing and it's fantastic. So in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and I haven't got that on the screen for you, but I'll read it to you. This is Jesus speaking. And what had happened from the day of his resurrection, for 50 days, he'd been appearing to the disciples and to others and teaching them and telling them, you know, what his purpose was to come and that they're going to be involved in carrying forth the message from there. But this is what he said to his disciples shortly before he was taken up from the earth. He said, John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so you see, our purpose and calling is to be witnesses to Jesus Christ. And we need the Holy Ghost to do that. And that's why he said in the book of John, Jesus said, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come, and I'm going to send him to you. That was his promise. There he's declaring to the disciples. He told them at the end of, the book of Luke, he said, tarry in Jerusalem till you are endued with power from on high. And that is God's intent, and that's what Jesus wanted to do. So they're in the upper room, and I'm going to read a scripture in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. That'll be on the screen for you. Wow, that's big typing. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they are all with one accord in one place. That's in the upper room. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Now, I've got to say this kind of, Galileans were considered like the unintelligent, the uneducated, okay? And so they're saying, look at these guys, they don't have any training at all, and I'm hearing them speaking in languages, how could they know these? And verse 8, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? So on the day of Pentecost, in the upper room, windows closed, sound of a mighty rushing wind, and then cloven tongues of fire sitting on that, fire spreading out. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues. Now, I'm going to clarify later on, some of them spoke in known languages because God had a purpose, and I'll explain how that works in just a moment. But speaking in tongues has caused such a controversy in the Church of Jesus Christ. The non-Christians don't hate Pentecostals, but there are Christians who really doubt whether Pentecostals are truly Christians, whether the kingdom of God is in them or whether it's the kingdom of the devil. In the late 1800s, when the Spirit of God began to move again and people were filled with the Holy Ghost, they would take people, and this is in the United States, we're not talking about some third world country, in the United States, and they skinned them alive because they spoke in tongues, because they thought it was the devil within them, and they were taking their life from them in such a manner to drive this thing out. That was the belief at that time. Thank God we don't do that today, because I'd be skinned alive. Nor do you. So people were killed for their faith, killed for their trust in the Holy Spirit. This church was founded on a Pentecostal message, and it exists today, and we continue that message. This day, it's appropriate to continue the series on the spiritual gifts, because today, remember, I've been teaching on spiritual gifts. We paused that for a month or so, but there are spiritual gifts which I'm going to reveal. One of them is speaking in tongues. One of them is interpretation of tongues. And the third one is prophecy. So they're all vocal gifts. They're about inspiration and utterance. And I want to say, everyone is a candidate for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's God's intent that we should move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not just for a pastor. It's not just for a really so-called spiritual person. It's for everyone. It's for you to be used by God in the works of the Spirit. And it's God's will for all born-again believers to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. It is God's will. It's God's will. Because Jesus said, you're going to be my witnesses, and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost to walk in that power. Do you know that? It's about power. And let me just say, and I just want to be kind, that you can go to heaven without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So people who receive Jesus, believe him as Lord and Saviour, will go to heaven. But there's more, and God intends more. Why should we settle for less? I believe it's a step of obedience to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus wanted us to flow and do the things that he intends us to do. And we need the Holy Ghost to do that. I can't do what I do without the Holy Ghost. I cannot preach without the Holy Ghost. I don't have it within me. I'm just not an outgoing person in the sense. There's some people who can stand on a stage, like Pastor Kane or Pastor Ben, and they just exude this, you know, I'm here and I love being here and I'm just reaching out to you. Me, I'd rather sit in the seat and stay off the stage. But when the Holy Ghost comes, you've got to make the step out and do what you can't do. That's what convinced me that the power of God works in us, that I can do something which I could not naturally do. You hear me? To overcome the fears that I've had. But you don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But it's my belief, it's disobedient not to be, once you know the truth. And so I'm telling you the truth. So if you want to leave now, you can. And so you don't hear any more truth and you won't be disobedient. Okay? All right, let's talk about tongues for a moment. There are four kinds of tongues that are shown to us in the scripture. The first one is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what we say. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. Now, for my case, that took a while to get to that point. And even when I was prayed for to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I didn't have much. It was almost like half a word. But the guy knew what he was doing. He said, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now you need to keep coming forth and speaking in tongues. And so I did. And it grew and it grew and it grew. Other people explode on the spot. But I want to say this. People, just because on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind and tongues of fire, and you'd say, wow, that must have been an experience. From my observation, most people who receive the Holy Spirit or the baptism of the Holy Spirit don't get that. And they're looking for feelings. I was looking for feelings. I was expecting the earth to shake, my body to shake, feel the power of God on me, and boom, away I'd go. But it didn't happen like that. And I think that's why people think, oh, well, I haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit because I didn't feel. Listen, you don't base faith on feelings. You base it on truth. And the truth is, God intends for every person to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And so with that in mind, you are a candidate. If you've not been filled this morning, we're going to pray for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you come and we'll pray for you at the end of my preaching this morning. The initial evidence, baptism in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. The importance of tongues is that Satan doesn't know what you're saying. And that's why he hates it. Do you know sometimes how hard it is to speak in tongues? I'll start speaking in tongues and think, oh, this is hard work. Because, you know, my mind is not knowing what I'm saying and therefore it's not totally engaged, and yet I'm saying, keep talking in tongues, keep talking in tongues. Because I think the enemy represses. He doesn't want you to speak in tongues because powerful things happen when you speak in tongues. But you're speaking in an unknown language unto God. It's a pure prayer language that you're speaking to the Lord. The Holy Spirit knows what you need and he's relating that to God through you. He's inviting us to be, God all knows what we need. We know that, but he's inviting us to be a part of that. And so we speak in other tongues and Satan doesn't know it. In Jude chapter 1 verse 20, the scripture will be on the screen, it says, but you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Listen, I admire people who go to the gym, lift 500 kilos and with one hand. In fact, I heard about a fella who named his toilet Jim, and he said, I go to the gym every morning. So I thought, well, that's a good routine. I might put Jim on the outside of my bathroom too. But there's something more important than physical. I mean, look after the body. I'm not knocking that for a moment. But more important is the spirit. Building up the spirit. And we build our spirit when we speak in tongues. We think, oh, I don't understand what's going on. This doesn't feel like, that's the trouble. So you're looking for feelings. I'm saying the truth is you build yourself up in the Holy Ghost when you speak in tongues. And so as you do that, something happens in you. Remember, we're a body with a soul, which is our mind, emotions and will, and we are a spirit, which has been brought alive by the Holy Ghost. And so when we speak in tongues, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us. Now, he doesn't dominate us. He doesn't take us over and our eyes bulge and our froth comes out of our mouth. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. He comes gently. And we, and these words within us begin to rise. And we begin to speak them out. But you know the danger that happens is people, we say, oh, come and get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And then you speak in tongues and we say, that's great. Now you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we tend to put a full stop there. That is not the end. That is the beginning of your walk with God in the power of the Holy Ghost. And I encourage you, don't stop there. It's like when you're born again, that's not the end either. That's an event, but it's a process. Because we have to grow in the things of God beyond that as well. Yes, we'd go to heaven if we died, no question. But we need to grow and become what God has called us to be, to fulfill His purpose for our life, to live out our destiny. And we can only do that, one, if we recognize after salvation there is a future, and two, we let the Holy Spirit work in us to take us in that direction. And so don't believe when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that's the end of the story. There's people walking around saying, oh, I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, I speak in tongues. And I say, well, you know, when did you last speak in tongues? Well, it's been a few days, weeks, months, years. I'm saying, well, what was the point of getting baptized in the Holy Ghost? You're no different than before you were. Oh, yes, but I am baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, if the preacher asks, I can put my hand up. Well, that's crazy. Listen, if I came around to your house and you took me into the garage and you said, look at this magnificent car. I bought this. It took me a long while to save up for this. It's a beauty, isn't it? Look, it's got a 6-litre V8 in it. Only men will understand what I'm saying. It'll tow a semi-trailer. I could drive this around Australia on one tank full of gas, like you could on a V8. And it's just a magnificent beast. And I said, well, yeah, what do you use it for? Well, you know, I back it out of the garage on Sundays and I give it a wash, rev the motor a few times, and I put it back in the garage. And I said, well, what's the purpose of it? You see, that's a little bit like when we're baptizing the Holy Ghost. We just bring it out maybe a little bit on Sunday and that's it. Put it back in the garage, wash it and put it back in the garage. That's not what it's about. It's to release power within you. The Holy Ghost is about power. And Jesus said, you shall be endued with power. And so getting baptized and speaking in tongues is but the beginning. The journey is about the power that's now come upon you that you can serve God with such an anointing on your life that people will see the difference. They saw the difference in these Galileans, these men in the upper room. I mean, I don't want to call them bogans, but, you know, that's how they were thought of by the people in, you know, the bogans from Galilee. Look how they're dressed. I mean, they're speaking in our languages. How is that possible? It's not possible, except the Holy Ghost does it. So I'm talking about really the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, and it's a growth factor from there. So that's the first thing. That's the first speaking in tongues. The second, just before I do that, 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 talks about, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Paul goes on to say later on, and we are knowing the mysteries of God. So we speak the mysteries of God, but God wants us to know them and he shares them with us like that. These things are supernatural. Can I explain it all? No, I can't. I just have to trust God. He knows what he's doing. I'll do what he's called me to do, but I have to trust him with the outcome. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? The second thing is about speaking in tongues. It's a known language, because we just said that on the day of Pentecost. There were 10 different nations mentioned there in Scripture. There might have been more, but they were 10 that mentioned, in which they heard them speak in their language, magnifying God. And what an impact that had on those people. These people didn't know what they were saying, but the people who heard them heard what they were saying on the day of Pentecost. And let me tell you, there are many examples I could share with you, because this has happened over many years. Let me just share one I was involved with. When I was a youth pastor in Townsville, I used to take the youth away on an Easter camp every year. We'd go to Tinaroo at that time, which is up in the Atherton Tablelands, lovely spot. And we'd have about 150 kids there. We'd take them from, you know, usually Thursday night through to Monday morning. And every because before every meeting, I'd encourage a prayer time, get the kids in prayer, and many of them would respond to that. And so one evening, I can't remember whether it was the Saturday or the Sunday night, maybe the last night, we're in the prayer room, and I mean, we were cutting loose in the Holy Ghost. We were speaking in tongues, we were praying, prophesying, and really going in God for the meeting that was about to come up. And I noticed there was a man in the meeting who was in his mid-40s. Now, I'm talking about youth meetings here. This was probably I was probably the oldest person there at about 36, but at that time. This guy was in the meeting. He was about 45, and you could pick he was not one of the people who'd been in the camp. But that's okay. We didn't stop people. If some of the locals wanted to come to our camp, that was fine. They'd come to that. So after we'd prayed, I went over to the guy and said, "Hi, you know, I'm Rob, who are you?" And he told me who he was. He was an Anglican minister from a little town in Herberton, I think, on the Atherton Tablelands. And he said, "Look, I know this is, you know, not maybe an open meeting, but I'm interested in the things of God. I've been born again, but I think there's more, and I'm desiring more. I want more." I said, "Oh, that's interesting. We'll try and help you." And he said, "Look, something happened that really amazed me." He said, "That young man over there was speaking in Greek." He said, "Because I studied Greek when I did my theology to become a minister. And so I understood what he said. He was magnifying God." He said, "That was so impressive. That was wonderful." And he said, "How did that young man know Greek?" I said, "I'm pretty sure he doesn't know Greek." So I took him over to meet a guy named David. David was a seaman. He went out to sea on boats, worked on boats. And so I said, "Dave, come over here." And he came over and I introduced them. And I said, "Dave, this man heard you speaking in Greek." He said, "Oh, really?" He said, "I don't know any Greek." And the guy said, "Yes, I heard you speak in Greek." And he said, "What's more, the Greek you spoke is only spoken in the king's court." How impressive is that? Perfect Greek, fluent Greek, spoken in tongues, in a known language. And the guy said, when he heard this, he said, "Wow, now I know what God is doing." He said, "I want this. I want this, what you are talking about, the baptism in the Holy Spirit." And eventually he got that, filled with joy. I haven't seen that man again. I will see him in heaven. I'd love to hear his ongoing story. On what happened, but was an exciting thing that occurred. So that's the second thing, tongues as a known language. The third thing is tongues as a form of praise and magnifying God. Let's look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. What is the conclusion then? "I will pray with the Spirit," speaking tongues, "and I will also pray with the understanding," right? "I will sing with the Spirit and sing with the understanding." Do you know, there is a factor of singing in the Spirit. Remember, tongues is a pure prayer language. And singing in the Spirit is a pure expression under God. I usually sing in tongues. I mean, I'll worship God as we do, but then at times I'll sing in tongues. Because to me, it just seems a different level, a different experience that's there. So that's one of the expressions of speaking in tongues, singing in the Spirit. Then the fourth measure of tongues, talk about tongues, is it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. This is where I'm talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember, I talked about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit with you, and let's read the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 6 to 10. It says, "There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Notice that the manifestation of the Spirit, that is the gifts of the Spirit, the outworkings of the Spirit, is given to each one. That's you. You're an each one. It's given to you for the profit of all. It's for the profit of the body. It's the profit of outside the body. It depends on what gift you're using. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So this fourth one here, and when we're talking about tongues, is what we call tongues and interpretation, and to which that I would add prophecy, because tongues and interpretation is probably basically the same as prophecy. It's the same things that come forth, but one doesn't require a message in tongues and an interpretation. But it's generally done within the body, within the church. And so we don't, to our, I guess, embarrassment, we don't do that so much, where somebody gives a message in tongues and somebody has an interpretation. But it was fairly common. A number of, probably 20, 30 years ago, we'd do that. Prophecy, we say, oh yeah, we hear a prophecy. But let me just explain, the prophecy that's spoken about here is edification, exhortation and comfort. And I'll explain that a little bit more in just a second. But here we come in the realms of someone speaks in tongues, somebody interprets it. Now, it's not a translation of what was said. It's an interpretation according to the person who's giving it. It's not by their mental ability. It comes from the Holy Spirit. But they're not going to start using words that they don't understand. They will use words that they do understand in explaining it. So if it was a child giving an interpretation, they wouldn't use a whole lot of words they'd never heard before. That is not what it means here in interpretation. So, and then we come to the realm of prophecy, where it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Let me try and give you some examples. The man I spoke to you about before, named Kevin Dyson, who spoke about witty inventions in the church, was visiting us one time, and we're just sitting in the car after a service, and he said, God wants you to know how pleased he is with you and what you've done. That was all. Was no, and God isn't going to set his hand upon you, he's going to shake the city, he's going to do da-da-da-da. No, no, no. God is pleased with what you've done. He's pleased with you. Something simple like that. See, that's encouragement. And that's what prophecy does. It's an encouragement. And so if we had a prophecy in the church, it might be, you know, God is blessed by his people's worship and he delights to set his presence there. See, that's a word of prophecy, but it's not speaking of the future or the past necessarily. It's just how God feels to encourage you to keep up your worship, to rise in worship, to do that. Does that... Do you understand what I'm saying? There's times when I feel a sense of the prophecy. When I say feel, no, actually I don't feel anything. Just the sense of it comes to me. I could be talking to somebody in the shop who is not a Christian. I don't know them. I never met them, but they're looking after me. And I just feel God say, tell them that God loves them. That's all. No, share the gospel. Just say, hey, you know... Nice to thank you for serving me. I just want you to know that God loves you. And I know that sounds unusual, but see, that's how it can work. Or it may be somebody who's there and they're, and God says, tell them you're praying for them. But see, it's not God says that it's a clear thing. It's just something that rises in the spirit. And sometimes you don't realize it and you do it. You bless somebody. You say, I just want to say God bless you. And they say, oh, thanks. See, God loves people. We think God only loves Christians. No, no, no. If God only loves Christians, I wouldn't be here. Because I wouldn't have been loved. And I wouldn't have been a Christian. So God loves all people. And just because they're not in church or they don't name Christ as their Saviour doesn't mean he doesn't love them and wants to encourage them. So be available. Keep your antenna up. When you go places, just think as the Spirit... Wanting to say something here? Do I have a sense of just saying something to somebody? You know, there's different ways of blessing people, different ways of encouraging them. That's prophecy. I mean, there's no good in saying, going to somebody who doesn't know Christ and then speaking in tongues, and now I'm going to bring the interpretation of tongues. Well, you're going to freak them out. If they haven't already run away, they soon will. But prophecy, you speak to them on the spot. It could be to a workmate. It's going through a hard time. And you just get this sense in your heart, hey, I know we say, oh, I'm going to be praying for you. That's great, we should. But sometimes there's that impetus to say, I really am going to pray for you because I believe God can make a change. It's just something stirring you. Or you can say, if you feel it, if you have a sense of it, God's on your case. He's going to do something powerful for you. It's funny to watch people's reactions when you do something like that. Some of them... Oh, great, I just, you know, I need all the help I can get. Or they might look a bit, you know, taken aback. But, you know, I guess in all my years of Christianity, when I've offered to pray for someone, I probably only had one or two knockbacks. No, no, it's all right. No, 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 you don't need to pray. When people are desperate, they'll grab anything. So we should be prepared to just share with them hope. And that comes by prophecy in the gift of the Holy Spirit. We live in a natural world, and the danger is we focus on the natural, when really we live in a supernatural world, because the supernatural world contains the natural world. And therefore we need to lift our eyes and realize there is a spiritual world around about us that we can walk in. And that's why we need the release of the Holy Ghost to bring that about. People often let their minds get in the way, because it's only what I can see is what I believe. But you know, if you'll believe, you will see. God will move. God's life will come forth to release the supernatural into the natural through you. That's Jesus' intent. Jesus walked the earth and went to heaven. And he said, now the job's up to you. Jesus is not coming back to walk around healing people. He does that through you. He's not walking around saying, I'm the Saviour, believe in me. He leaves that up to you to say, he's the Saviour, believe in him, and there's eternal life. That's our role. We're to take that forward on his behalf. So let me say, all Christians, you can do this. You can be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can be used in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can see things come forth. And this is the day and age when God is doing